Gillette's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy 4th of July to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. I did have coffee this morning. My voice sounds a little bassy, but that's just because I haven't talked to many people yet this morning. And so the voice will wake up sooner or later. I was sleeping so wonderfully this morning. And we're here, and I hope that you are planning a great day. There may be some people out there that are having to work. I worked retail, and so whenever a holiday came around, I very rarely was off on that holiday because that was the day when there were more shoppers out, and that because I was on commission, that meant I made a little bit more money. And so there may be some people out there that are having to work, healthcare and first responders and things like that. And so we salute you. But we are very thankful that we live in America, where America is still one of the most generous nations on the planet. And I'm not talking about our government. Our government spends a lot of money, but when it comes to helping people in crisis, the American people really are very, very generous when it comes to that. And that's around the globe. And a lot of that comes through the church in the form of missions. So in the Assemblies of God, we have an emergency response missions ministry. It functions here in America, but it also functions around the globe. So if there's a crisis or a natural disaster, Convoy of Hope goes and responds to that situation. And, you know, America is still one of the leading missions sending nations on the planet. The Assemblies of God was formed to be the greatest evangelism effort that the world had ever known. And so that's the reason that we exist. It's one of the reasons why Merritt Assembly of God gives so much to missions, and it is because of the freedoms that we have here in America that we are able to do those things. And so we are glad to live in the greatest nation to send the gospel out in our current time. So thank you for being the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I pray that you would be safe out there. I did this, I think it was on yesterday's program. Be safe around fireworks and don't be doing, you know, risky things. Value your fingers and value your life. Throwing a firecracker at someone is not a practical joke. That's very dangerous. So please be careful. It's a Friday. That means it's a long weekend. And I pray that you will not only experience the freedom that we have here in America, but you will also celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ. Let you know, we do have a missionary that is going to be with us at Merritt Assembly of God this weekend. And that's because we want to see people who are captive in darkness brought into the freedom of the light that is available in Jesus Christ. So if you want to come and hear about the missionary endeavors that we are part of, that'll be Sunday morning, 10:30 of a morning, and so we're looking forward to that. We're good. Excuse me. That was kind of weird. Kind of a yawn-hiccup combination that came out of nowhere. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 today, I'm going to read verses 18, 19, and 20, but we've already talked about verse number 18. So we'll discuss verses 19 and 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we have been talking about how prayer is part of the armor that God has provided for us, in that it provides communication with our commander-in-chief. We talked about it, exposing the plans of the enemy. The supplication in the Spirit, that means that we pray at the Spirit's direction. So you might not have prayer on your schedule, but when the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, then you pray. So there are many times during the night. Now, verses 19 and 20 talk about Paul requesting prayer for himself from the church in Ephesus. And I will tell you, you may not understand, but if you have a pastor and your pastor knows you, it's not uncommon for God to awaken that pastor in the middle of the night and have him pray for you. There are a lot of times I'm sleeping perfectly soundly, and then I wake up, and when I wake up, there's one of the people in the church that is on my mind, and I may not understand fully what is going on, but I do know enough to do this, that I pray for those people. So there's a story of a missionary who was ministering, and he was in an area where it was very hostile to the faith, and one of the locals had threatened to come and attack his camp and kill him. And that night came and it went, and nothing happened. And several years later, that person who had threatened to kill him had become a believer, and they had a conversation, and the missionary asked, you know, why did you not attack and kill me? And he said, well, we did, but all of a sudden, when we got to your property, there were all of these really tall individuals that were there, and there were a specific number of them. And we said, we're not going to mess with those people. And he was sharing that testimony and in a church, and someone came up to him and said, what day was that? And what time was that? And they looked at the various time differentials, and at that exact hour, there had been people who were interceding for that missionary, and God had sent, you know, protection from those, and the kingdom of God advanced. It's not just that God kept the missionary safe, but the people who were persecutors of that missionary endeavor became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a testimony to those people who had been rallied around to pray, and God heard their prayers, and now there was a testimony that at the exact time they were praying, that God was doing something supernatural. Paul's prayer request is this: and pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Two verses about Paul requesting prayer for himself. One verse that describes praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. A lot of times, people may be under the perception that, well, he's the pastor. He doesn't need us praying for them. Well, the pastor's wife, you know, she's got it all together. They don't need us praying for them. And I would tell you that that is a misperception. We are very real. We live in the same world that everybody else lives. There are pressures in our life, the same as you have pressures. So my wife works a job here in the community. And on top of her work schedule, there's still the family schedule. There's the church activities. And so even though she doesn't work 40 hours a week at the church, she works a great deal. A lot of times that is in preparation at home. While some people are, vegging out, she's preparing a children's lesson, or she is preparing gifts to be given. So, you know, when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day, we have gifts that we give. And she's the one who goes online and figures out, hey, what can we do if I haven't given her any guidance? Or sometimes if I have given her guidance, then she goes out there, she finds them. And, you know, sometimes she may be sitting there watching something on television, but at the same time, she's assembling these gifts to be given out. Other times, she's working on a message for the ladies, planning the event, planning the time schedule and all that. There's all of those pressures. And so I want to ask you, would you pray for your pastor? Would you pray for me? Because there are family issues, there's financial issues, there's generational issues. You know, we're in a situation right now where we've got four generations on my side of the family, four generations on her side of the family, and we're not the oldest generation. So there are a lot of different elements going on. So we got new grandchildren that, you know, are on the scene, and we've got, you know, we each have a parent, and they're getting on up there. And so there's challenges there. But Paul doesn't just request prayer for the issues he's facing in life. His prayers are more specific. This is what his prayer: and for me, that utterance may be given to me. So when you pray for your pastor, because the reason that we got into ministry was because we love Jesus. The reason we got into ministry is because we also love people. That people are dead in their trespasses and sin that don't know Jesus, and Jesus wants them to experience abundant and eternal life. He wants them saved. So Paul requests prayer. Would you pray that God would give me the words to say? Would you pray that your pastor would have ears to hear what God has to say, and that those ears would tune out the frequency of the message that culture has for them to say? The pulpit is God's pulpit. It's not mine. I may be the one entrusted to it, but believe me, it's God's pulpit. I look and I read in the scriptures that, you know, when God says that something is his, if there's anything going on in that pulpit that, or in that house that God's displeased with, God will will take that very, very seriously. He wants to restore it to its purpose. Well, my purpose, as much as I want people to like me, my purpose is not to make people like me. My purpose is to proclaim the Word of God in truth and power and clarity to such a degree that it's understandable. And so Paul says, would you pray that God would give me the words to say? So that means that Paul is requesting that he would have clear understanding, he would have clear hearing of the message, that his heart would be tuned to God's frequency to know what he was supposed to say in the different environments in which he ministered. Because, you know, he would be in this church, and then he would be in this church, and now he is writing this and, you know, imprisoned, and so there are guards that he has the opportunity to minister to. There are visitors that he has the opportunity. There may be other prisoners. There are magistrates, people of authority. And so he needed God to give him a timely word in due season. And so I pray that, I want to ask you to pray for your pastors that we would have an ear to hear what God wants to say, that he would give us a timely word in due season. Not only did he ask prayer for the message, but he also asked for prayer that he would open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so there's a word that's used there twice in verses 19 and 20, and that is that I may open my mouth boldly, and in verse number 20, that I may speak boldly. And so this is a realization and an acknowledgement. Paul says, I'm dependent upon God. When I pray, and when you look at the armor of God, you realize all of us are dependent upon God, but we are not only dependent upon him for the message, but we are also dependent upon him for the motivation. You might think that there are no challenges when it comes to boldness and things like that, but I will tell you, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to ministry. There's just a lot of challenges, and it is not for the faint of heart. It is for the bold. And so we need boldness from God that will allow us to speak openly, that we will speak boldly, that we will speak with a plainness and a clarity that people will understand the message. So there are a lot of people, and you know, they may get up there and try and impress people with their flowery words. We're not here to impress you with our rhetoric. We're here to try and make the Word of God as understandable as we can, and presenting it without compromise, presenting it in a manner that is going to be understood. I believe it was John Wesley who said, my job as a preacher is to afflict the comforted and to comfort the afflicted. When he went, when pulpits were closed to him, he went to the mines and he presented the gospel to the miners before they went down into the mines, because those people never knew if they were going, if that was going to be their last day alive or not. Now, let me also say this. When we present the gospel clearly, there are going to be some people who they'll understand the message, and instead of responding to the message with humility and repentance, they may find themselves resistant to that message. And so then they will try and deflect it. And so we need the boldness to keep bringing people back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says here that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight into me. I struggle when the gospel is given a backseat to other things that, you know, deprive people of the opportunity to hear the gospel. So at Merit Assembly of God, I have a reserved parking spot. My reserved parking spot is not reserved because it's a sign there. It's reserved because I'm the first one that gets there. My parking spot is not the closest one to the church. My reserved parking spot is the farthest away from the church. Because, first of all, there are a number of people who need parking spots closer to the church. They have a physical need, and so I want to make sure that they have that. The second reason for that is because there are people who God is moving upon them by the Holy Spirit, and they have taken the initiative to come to church, and they don't need to be looking harder for a parking spot than they need to. And so we want to make sure that there is parking available so that the devil doesn't take opportunity for inconvenience and they're deprived of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I have a relatively easygoing personality, although I am very driven, take my responsibilities very seriously. But and so I want everybody to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And so everybody is welcome to come and hear the gospel, but no one is allowed to create a distraction that will deprive other people from hearing the gospel. And so pray for preachers, pray for me that I will speak boldly and with clarity, that I will have a word to share, and I'll have the boldness to share it at the right time. Paul goes on and he says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. An ambassador is not responsible for the message. An ambassador is not even in charge of the location. An ambassador goes where he is sent with the message that he is sent with to proclaim that message. And our message is not, how do I get rich? The message is not about the necessarily just the things of this world, but our message is about this. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Paul said, I am constrained to the message that God has given to me. I don't deviate from it. I don't compromise it. I deliver it. I deliver it boldly, and that I deliver it to the audience to whom it is sent. So that's one of the ways that you can pray for preachers. Pray that we will exercise the freedom that we have been given to speak the message that is going to set captives free. You abide in my word, and my words abide in you. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, Paul closes out this section, and this is going to be the last that we talk about here in Ephesians chapter 6. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly. There's that word again, as I ought to speak. I pray that all of us will have the humility to know that we need other people praying for us. So I pray for people at the church on a regular occasion. And there are people from the church that come up and say, "Pastor, I want you to know we're praying for you." And occasionally in one of the services, or some of the services, someone will come up and say, "Pastor, you know, you're praying for us all the time. Could we pray for you?" And I never turned down prayer from people in the congregation, people that I know, because I know that they're going to pray scriptural prayers for us. We don't need pulpits of compromise. We need pulpits where people have a fresh word from the throne room of heaven, and we're not afraid to proclaim that message, because the Holy Spirit brings people in with a message that they need to hear. Pray for your pastor. Let me tell you some things that you might not hear too many pastors say. Did you know that almost every pastor has experienced betrayal? Almost every pastor deals with discouragement because the church doesn't grow as fast as it needs to. That there are challenges. There's people that come and go, and there's all of those challenges. That there are pastors who feel very isolated. They don't have many close friends. I think it's the overwhelming majority of people who start out in the ministry do not retire in the ministry. There are some parts of the ministry that look, you know, glamorous and exciting, and I will tell you, those are the fun parts. But ministry isn't just about what takes place in the pulpit. Paul wrote letters from a prison cell. He was in prison because he was telling people about Jesus. So I'll say this. Would you pray not only for your pastor, would you pray for this pastor? And pray for the other people in the community, because we need to have the boldness to preach the gospel. We'll see you next week here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.